Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know, since we started to do these podcasts live, there's been like a level of hecticness on my Tuesday nights that was never there before. Of just running around, you know, got to get this ready, got to get that ready, sit down, get it started. But it's now every Tuesday night. This is A View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today's Tuesday, the 13th of February, 2024. I've always wanted to do this. It's Yep, it's pancake day. Lads, listen, I love that. I've always wanted to put that in the podcast. We're live on YouTube, Facebook, and on Twitter. You also download us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all of your normal podcast providers. If you're watching on YouTube, send us a message down the side. Tell us what you had in your pancakes today. Likewise, like and subscribe if you enjoy what we do, and or leave us a review on Spotify or on Apple Podcasts. On this week's show, 4 points in a bruising weekend in Scotland. We'll discuss the results and more. It was a hat trick for Daniel Tedesco on Sunday. We'll have him join us to discuss his season. Andrew Dixon will be with us. That's always good crack. And it's a rare midweek game and a jaunt to Manchester with them returning at the weekend, which means we'll be speaking later in the show with Matt Ginn. We'll have the news, DOPS, and all that crack. Like I say, if you're watching, send us a note. If you're watching on YouTube or Facebook, join in the live chat or at AVFTV on Twitter. What was in your pancakes, Davey?
To be honest, Paddy, like you say, I feel criminally underprepared tonight, and I was sitting at the in the kitchen making pancakes whilst cutting goals and fights and all sorts. So I had a little golden syrup and half a lemon just squeezed with a fork, just old school, mate.
Nice. Simon, pancakes, what do you have?
Is that how you squeeze your lemons?
No, just give proper chopping, give it a...
No, I don't like lemon and pancakes, to be honest.
What?
I had a wee bit of Nutella, actually, and it was... I've never tried it with Nutella before. Jasmine made them earlier on, and they were quite tasty, actually, but I had to call tech support before to just obviously were a couple minutes late, and tech support came in and saved the day.
Big thanks to Jasmine. Tech support.
So she's thinking, she's all pleased with herself. You know, she has said that got this MacBook a few weeks ago. Still trying to find my way around.
How to switch it on?
What's that?
Can't switch it on yet.
I'm already getting the switching the thing on. It's literally don't start. I just haven't had time to get in like the Apple Geniuses yet. But I'll find a way to get it done at some point. But yeah, Jasmine's probably very close to, I think she's, she doesn't want to show me because I think she's aiming for getting a free MacBook out of it. So there's a strong chance I might just go back.
This, and yeah. It's like, this doesn't work. You may as well have it. That sort of thing. Yeah. Not a bad tactic, to be honest with you.
It's not. And the thing about it is she's learned from the best. Like, so it's one of those ones where I can't really say she's stroking me, but yeah, she's probably going to get a MacBook out of it.
Fantastic. Right. Gentlemen, a jaunt to Scotland over the weekend. Let's get stuck in. It was the a trip on Saturday evening to face the Glasgow Clan. And after what was basically a slow start, the Clan stretched out to a 3-0 lead in about 10 minutes through Luke Lynch and two from Michael Pelich. But then, you know, their other goals came from Matt Berry and Dyson Stevenson because the Giants scored 8. Henrik Eriksson, David Goodwin, Matt McLeod with 2, Aaron Azarian, Goodwin with 2, Kieran Long, and our guest later in the show, Daniel Tedesco. Tyler Beskarowani, 21 shots on, 5 goals against the other side. Andy Carlinen, 38 shots on, 7 goals against. Your referees were number 20, Pavel Harrison, number 43, Graham Roger. Davey, 3-0 down after 10 minutes, and I'll be honest with you, my hackles were up, and I feared the worst. I was very, very happily proved wrong.
Not an ideal start, that's for sure. And Besko had a couple of big saves mixed in with that 3-0 scoreline. We had our opportunity as well, let's not get wrong. Caroline came up with a couple of big saves in that early part of the game as well. But a 3-0 down after, you know, 10 minutes away, you go into these games with a certain level of expectation. And unfortunately, we came out on the wrong side of those 3-0s. Adam Keefe called a timely timeout, I guess. And as we've seen him do a number of times, read the riot act. And this time it got a fairly instant reaction. And we started clawing our way back in. And I think that's probably the big positive to take away from the game is just how we clawed our way back into it. And, you know, just never give up and chipped away at it. And then obviously got ourselves in the lead and got pegged back again, but were able to find something inside to, as I think Adam said in his, one of his post-matches previously, whenever they got it back to 4 each, we might have crumbled a bit, but this team's starting to come together with a little bit of grit at a right good time down the stretch towards the playoffs here. So, you know, to come from 3-0 down and score 8's always pleasing.
Simon, you know, I think, you know, obviously, you know, I've taken away from going on to Twitter. I used to go on to Twitter and venting this sort of thing. Now I just vent to you boys. And you see that 3-0 and you think, oh, where's this going? But it shows that, you know, we were able to regroup. We were able to get the Clan. And to be honest, the Clan weren't great.
It's like we just literally stayed on the bus for the first half of the period. Terrible start. You know, you're taking the first goal on the power play. And just, it's very slack, very, very slack. But as Davey touched on there, you know, Adam picking up a call for, you know, getting the timeout and 10 minutes into the game, which again, it's never ideal because sometimes you need to hold those on those until the end of the game and you might never know when you might need it. But it was a really good recovery. Davey kept texting me. He texted me for 3-0 down. He said, we need the next goal. And we got it. And then he literally copied that one, put it below, he says, and again. And then, you know, you're literally back to the 3-3. And when we got it back to 3-3, to be honest, that second period from us was probably one of our best 20-minute periods the whole season. We absolutely dominated. I think they had 2 shots on. I think it said 5 on the game sheet, but I'm pretty sure they had 2 shots on target. Besko didn't have anything to do at all in the second period, and we absolutely dominated them. And 5-on-5, we were just outstanding for 50 minutes of the game. They get it back to, I think it got it back to 4-4 at one point, and then again, we got a really timely goal. Some good performances that really stood out as well, and scoring those important goals when it comes along. And you know, sometimes you don't know who scores them. It takes deflections and they're not called properly, but it's important that, you know, you just keep on getting one game at a time. And I was talking to Laura Small after the game, and we're saying, you know, it's a great recovery coming back from 3-0 down, but we need to go again tomorrow. We need to get on our run. If anything, more for confidence than I've said before, that for me, the league's over. Sheffield are ranting away about the league and fully deserved. But for us, for me, I just think that we really need to get on our run to try and improve. Scoring goals, which has been a bit of an issue obviously getting the 8 in that game, you know, and let's be honest, we probably could have scored more as well. But, you know, getting those 8 goals was important. And then obviously that led into Sunday, took a bit of confidence in trying to find the net. But it was good to see that we managed to claw out a result when, let's be honest, a month ago, maybe 6 weeks ago, when you're 3-0 down, you are not winning that game. So that I took that as really positive, and obviously that led into Sunday.
Dave, you take into account that we were missing, obviously, the international players who were off with Team GB and Team Japan, and we did get Tedesco back for this game. But, you know, how much of this was down to us being good and the clan struggling?
Paddy, you can only beat what's put in front of you on any given night. And, you know, to say the clan were bad, they were 3-0 up against us, so that took a... You know, it took a winning performance in 50 minutes. We had to come from 3-0 down, and we managed to do it. Yeah, the clan have probably got some issues defensively there that they'll want to tighten up on. Maybe turn the puck over a wee bit too easy at times. I can't remember who got interviewed in the second period break. He said that, you know, that they needed to go back to what they were doing at the start of the game, which was getting it in deep behind us, trying to make us turn and go and play in our zone in the second period. You know, we dominated probably all three zones, but certainly the offensive zone, we kept them pinned down there. That'll tie up with what Simon's saying there about the shot count. If they're 200 feet from our goal, they can't score goals. So, you know, the best way. And if I look back at that, I know it turned out into a defeat. That game home to the Blaze just before Christmas in the Challenge Cup, I know we don't like to talk about it, but that middle period, you know, really, really dominant. And this game, the same, just really turned on the power that we'll have. And as you say, Paddy, no Ben Lake, no Davy Phillips, who else? No Sean Norris, no Jackson Whistle. Still missing our captain, etc. from that. So all good positives with, you know, start filling the net here. Try and be a wee bit tighter. It's not so much tighter. Like, you go and you can see 3 goals away the clan, that's okay, because if you've got the firepower to go and score more than 3, it's the speed we're starting games. And we've been guilty of, you know, putting ourselves in positions where we just can't come back. One game against Cardiff Devils springs to mind earlier in the season. It was just game over before you get a chance. It's not actually that many weeks ago. Didn't we get really badly beat by a number of weeks ago? Mm-hmm. Where you just get maybe 4 behind and, you know, game over against a strong team. You go 4 down against the Glasgow Clan. You're still thinking we're in this. You go 4 down against the Cardiff Devils, the game over. So, or Sheffield Steelers or someone like that. So you've got to be really strong to start these games, because you can't give really, really good team starts.
Simon, obviously this week for the clan as well, Kylie's gone. Kevin Lidskook's come in after a bit of a cameo at Fife. But there's certainly unrest. You know, you don't need to listen to what we say. I know that the clan chat and also the lads on the Clan from the Stands podcast go through this in detail if you want to know more, anybody listening. But there is unrest in Glasgow, as they have slipped into the bottom 2. Is that a surprise?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there was a lot of expectation in Glasgow this year. Obviously, with a new ownership group and you know, they brought in a bucket load of new players. But I'm not here to criticise any other club with regards to what they're doing right and what they're doing wrong. The bottom line is they're in a hole and they're in the wrong end of trying to get out of it right now, because the Chiefs keep on seeming to be... They've been in winning positions, not just against us, but they've been in winning positions and they've found a way to lose. I've seen Jason Morgan's interview the other night. He looks like a beaten man. You know, he certainly wasn't happy. He's calling out guys who aren't, you know, performing. And I think that's the case, whereas earlier in the season, at one point, I'm pretty sure they were top of the league, you know, back in October and playing very well. They beat us once earlier in the season as well. And I just feel that you know, it's a difficult season for anybody can beat anybody on any particular night, maybe apart from Sheffield, because they're on a roll right now. But, you know, when they lost, I think they lost a couple of games there against Fife a few weeks ago. Fife now are out of the bottom 2 and into that playoff spot. And if they don't get to the playoffs, that's a major, major letdown for them this year, in my opinion.
Yep.
But, you know, and look, we've had Murph on a couple of times this year, and obviously he's playing a big part up in Glasgow right now as well. So it's one of those ones where they need to get it right, and they need to get it right quick.
You mentioned that Jason Morgan chat. Let's hear from both coaches after this game.
Yeah, certainly happy with the fight back and the no quit. Like I said, probably a couple months ago, we get real deflated with that start, and then with the fact that they got one back there, that fourth one, and maybe we go away. But this, last month or so, we've been dropping some games, but we've had some fight back and no quit, and that's a real positive sign. Obviously, again, we still need to clean things up defensively, but obviously a little explosion of offense, which is always nice to see as well. And like I said, a gutsy comeback performance. So certainly proud of the guys for that. The challenge now is to follow it up with a better performance tomorrow.
Got off to a good start that we wanted. You're playing the treble winners from last year. They're a good hockey team, and we get up 3-1 there in the first. And then they turned up their work and compete level. We didn't match it. Second period, puck management, our D zone, we got outworked. And that was the result of it. We scratched and clawed there in the third. Tied up, chip away. And it's just the puck management, certain guys, battle and compete level, certain guys, isn't what it needs to be.
We've seen this quite often in the last few weeks as well. I mean, frustration levels for you must be so high right now.
Yeah, 100%. It's frustrating. It's frustrating when you watch some of your, part of your team battle and compete and do whatever it takes night in and night out, and others don't.
There's a man who seems quite beaten in Jason Morgan. And the highlights from this game are available on YouTube from Clan TV. We crack on and we move to the following night in Dundee. Dundee had just travelled up from a game in Guildford. We spoke to Mark Lefebvre last week, and we went into this game bruising encounter for the Belfast Giants, but a 3-2 win nonetheless. It was a hat-trick for Daniel Tedesco, with Rinaldi and Harms scoring the two for Dundee. In nets, Tyler Bescarwani, 43 shots on 2 goals against. And it was 21-year-old Lucas Burney from Chertsey, 31 shots on 3 goals against. Daniel Ferguson, Toby Craig were your two refs. Simon, at the end of the first period, Adam Keefe thanked Tyler Bescarwani because if it wasn't for him in that first period, we could have been in a bit of difficulty.
I think it could have been in more than a bit of difficulty. Besco was great and sort of Besco of old. I don't think it's a secret, and he'll probably pull his hands up first of all to say that he hasn't been the way he was, last season for us. And, when he came in last January, he was, I don't want to say unbeatable, but near enough unbeatable. And he sort of struggled for a bit of form this year. And that's not just the goaltender's fault. That starts in front of him. That starts with the forwards. It starts with D and basically works its way back. But, it was you get the opportunity to go in front on the power play. Another thing we've struggled with this year. But Tedesco, in the last month, you're talking about player of the months and what have you. He's going to be right up there this month for player of the month. He's had some really big games and scored some really important points. But getting that first one against Dundee, in Dundee this year, they've been really, really good. They've got some big results. But obviously, when you just see it there on the screen, when that puck pops out front, left-handed on the right side, it's always a nice spot to be in. So getting the goal, getting the first goal was really important. But then you see, they obviously dug deep, got back into it again. We go up and take just in the second period, we managed to get a really timely goal as well against the run of form. I think it's fair to say there's not many teams this season have outshot us, but Dundee were definitely one of the ones on Sunday. And I looked at the report on Monday morning, and I think it was 5 goals was the expected. Davey knows more about the stats side. I'll leave that to him. But, they were expected to score 5 goals minimum, 5.29, I think it was. But I thought it was really important. Again, you talk about the win on Saturday, carrying that confidence in. There's a couple of guys carrying niggles, missing a lot of guys for GB, as you say. Sato was there, but he just didn't get it back in time to play, I believe. And, you pick up another win in a tough building to go to. Great night for Daniel Tedesco, picking up a hat-trick, his first of the season. Again, hopefully that'll lead him into more goals towards the end of the season. Dizzle Viper, you know, he's been absolutely Tedesco mad over the last couple of weeks. I want to call him out. Even Andrea, but we had the golf night last Wednesday night, and he was saying that, you know, he's Tedesco's biggest fan right now. And we all know trying to keep Michael, you know, happy is probably number one priority for Andrea alone. But, you know, for him to come out and basically say he's been having a really good game, there are others still on the Tedesco bandwagon of you know, giving them a hard time, but they don't pay any attention to him. So great to see him getting a hat trick. Really good to, you know, going into this important part of the season to get some form together as we chase down the stretch and hopefully get ready for potential one trophy at the end of the season.
Davey, a bruising encounter. Can you hear us, Davey? There's Davey frozen. Is he frozen out?
Looks like it.
I know he's been having a few issues there. But there were a few issues, says, in this game with regards to hits, and we lost three players.
Yeah, David Goodwin, Henrik Eriksson, and Aaron Azarian all leaving the game with hits to the head. And it's disappointing. You never want to see a player go down, no matter what side he's on, but especially with a hit to the head. And again, I don't think there was penalties on any of them. It's the officials, like, we know the officials don't have the eyes in the back of their head, and they don't see everything that's happening on the ice. But there was one that I seen on the video itself of Hank, Henrik Eriksson, as some people don't know his nickname, Hank, out front, Walker drive, they're skating out of the zone. And I think it's feeling that comes in.
It is.
You know, unloads on him as if it's, you know, he sort of did it as if he didn't see him coming. But let me tell you, he's looking straight at him. And Hank doesn't get up. And he's face down on the ice. His wife and family are watching that game at home in Sweden. That is never nice to see. But look, it's a difficult game. And look, I've been critical of the officials. But again, I get that they don't see everything. But it's a recurring theme in that game. The three players are hit to the head. That's not acceptable.
The frustration for me watching this game back, as well as the hits to the head, and I know we're big fans. You know, we know Toby Craig listens in, so you know you may want to switch off, Toby. But there was a frustration where I think it was Jacob Friend takes a slashing minor, 2 minute slashing minor, as he spins, his stick comes around, strikes the player on the pads. And he gets a 2 minute. Seemed a bit soft, but you get them called. And then you go down the other side, and they're on the power play, and you got Harms, who is more or less two-handing. I can't remember who it was of ours. He was on the edge of the crease, two-handed, and cross-checking the back, with the referee standing there watching. And there's just no level. The frustration comes with the level of consistency and being able to, you know, have the level of consistency that we can. If you see this, like, I can take a soft penalty, absolutely. I'll be annoyed by it, but just sit back and you'll go, it's okay. A soft penalty is called. Well, you get them, and they'll get them. But when you don't see them being reciprocated, when you see similar incidents happen and you don't see them come back, that's where the frustration comes, not just amongst the players, but, you know, amongst the fans who are watching in. And you know, granted, there's again, referring you out to another podcast, but the 3-on-3 guys spoke to Tom Darnell today on their show today, and Darns hasn't been spoken to since hasn't had a phone call since he retired as a resource to come in and sort of give advice and give help. But, you know, he's sort of highlighting the fact that there are things that could be done to help with the consistency and with the sort of the building of the referees, which, you know, and I'll bring Davey back into this. Davey, you know, Simon's just been talking about the hits and like the one on Hank and stuff. I'm referring to the fact that sometimes referee inconsistency just isn't there.
I didn't hear what Simon obviously said about the hit on Henrik Eriksson. It's one of those. What were you saying there, Simon?
I just said that I seen the clip from the GoPro behind the net.
Yep.
Hank's skating out of the zone, and to me, Phelan knows exactly what he's doing.
Think so?
He comes in and makes contact with Hank, who is oblivious to seeing what's happening, and Hank is face down on the ice. And that is one thing that I absolutely hate to see no matter what color jersey he's wearing. I'm not saying this because he's a Belfast Giants player. I've seen too many players face down on the ice, which I always think about the people that are watching at home. So whether it's their parents, their brothers or sisters, or their kids, and even, you know, their partners. And it's horrendous to see your loved one basically face down on the ice. That's never a nice thing to see. I don't know if we'll have that clip to show it, but it's
in the drop box.
Terrible play by Phelan. And I think that's the one where Jacob Friend steps in and gets a 5-minute major for fighting with him. And that's, you know what, you want your teammates standing up for him. And players, if they see a hit like that and they know, they don't drop the gloves for nothing. They don't drop the gloves. And let's be honest, we haven't dropped the gloves an awful lot of times this season. We've been criticized for it on occasion. But Friendy knew that was a bad play by Phelan, and he dropped the gloves and get stuck in. And for me, I've spoke to Hank in the last couple of days, and he's not in great shape. You know, he's very, very sore, and he's not feeling the best. And I was texting him there about 20 minutes ago.
Keep it onside as well. Paratino sends it across for Ronaldo, and a tremendous interception.
Just got a lot of play here, Simon.
Whoa, big hit in the centre. There we go. Look, he's not moving at all. Oh, we're going to get a fight as well. We have a fight in progress. His friend is going to go toe-to-toe. Helmet is already off. Gets in the uppercuts as well. And they both go crashing to the ice. So,
I always like the referees put the whistle in their pocket. That's, for me, that's great. It's just, again, that guy's play. Let them sort themselves out. Hank's still lying down. I mean, that's 30, 35 seconds. He hasn't moved. That's not acceptable. I don't know. Again, if I don't think there was a penalty on the play. I actually haven't looked at it.
No, there wasn't.
I think he had a 5-minute major for fighting.
There wasn't.
But I don't even know if that can be looked at by the league. I really don't know which way that stands.
It's a difficult one. The hit's just coming here now. Sorry for dragging it out here, but the hit's just. But I promise it is.
But yeah, it's one of those hits as well. It's, and I've watched it a few times myself, and I sometimes go from thinking, "Oh, here it is." Yeah,
I want to believe that Phelan
doesn't see
it. Steps out of the way of the. So there's another guy coming out, says in the sort of cross, and he takes a little jump. I want to believe he doesn't mean it, but it's a horrible hit for Henrik to take there, and obviously, as you have said, he's still not feeling the greatest. And It's just one of those. It looks like an accidental collision because Phelan doesn't look like he's looking past Hank for where the puck is.
I disagree.
That's fine. That's me not wanting to believe.
Do I think that he meant to hurt him and make him face down on the ice to get assistance? No. Do I think he meant to make contact? Yes, I do.
Yeah. I think it was Phelan was also involved in the hit with David Goodwin. And actually our first goal, Goody keeps the puck in the zone and Phelan hits him. I think his head bangs off a plexi as well. So that's two. Adam, you know, mentions the three guys that got left the game with head injuries and obviously Naz later in the game, which it's not on the main game camera, so I haven't seen a replay of it. It's just literally just off the side.
The highlights come out from them, do you?
Not yet.
The game tape's gone missing. that camera's no doubt faulty, but listen, all we can do is wish these three guys, you know, speedy recoveries. It's not nice to see anybody, it's your teammates, your own team getting injured. But as I say, interesting to see it. You know, when Jacob stepped in there, no instigator call, which I love to see, no instigator call on it. So you know, just two guys throwing them down and sorting it out there and then. But just hope that Hank's going to be okay.
Let's get the coach's take on this game.
Yeah, I thought Dundee certainly had the better first period. And Besko was very strong to keep us in that period. We get out of that, it's 1-1. After that, the second period, we end up losing three players, essentially. You know, we'll have to look back at the videos to see what exactly happened there, but we had guys step up. Young Mason Alderson had a great game for us. You know, he did everything right. We had two defensemen playing center, and a couple guys playing banged up. So it was great to see that in a time of need like that, that everybody kind of pulled together. You know, with Jacob Friend kind of stepping up for a teammate and fighting there, and obviously that put us down in another body. So everybody was kind of pulling the rope today. It wasn't pretty, that's for sure. You know, that's what we talk about on the road. Sometimes they don't need to be pretty, but you got to find a way, and they did that. And you know, we'll take a 4-point weekend, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm not down on the guys at all. It's we gave a full effort tonight, and we perform like that most nights. We're going to get more victories. It's fell a little short in the end there, and I thought both goalies were great tonight. Both Besko and Briner tonight, you know, were outstanding. And you know, we had over 40 shots on net tonight. We just didn't capitalize on our chances.
Just actually on that, just a quick note on Lucas Bryan coming in. Obviously, 21 years old English lad from Church. He has come in, not played many games, but I didn't think he did too badly, did he?
Made a couple of big saves. I see he got the number one save in the saves of the week on the IHL website there today, or Twitter there today. He went east to west very well. I thought he made some saves he had no business saving. So, you know, he did really well there when he was called upon.
Yeah, so it's good to see a young lad like that come through a system.
Yeah, and he played a couple of weeks ago as well. I think it was against Cardiff and had a really strong game. It's good that, you know, you've got Mark Lefebvre not afraid to put him in. I have no idea what's wrong with Kevin Carr, but, you know, when you're a goalie of that experience, you want to try and ride him as much as possible. But it's a difficult one, and, you know, when you need to try and give kids an opportunity, and you know, Fife have had Andy Little in a couple of games this season when they had Shane Owen out. But, yeah, there's some really good British goalies around the league right now, and they just need to be getting chances for sure.
Probably, Paddy, nothing more than a whatever, an eight-hour bus trip to Guildford and back, and they'd pick points up there. And, you know, I think Mark had said that he just has to be a continual for them, picking up points every week against Key. So they sort of picked up a point. Not going to say that they were happy to throw a game against Belfast away, but they were happy to, you know, they'd got their points for the weekend, and they're happy to give the young lad a go. And he gave them a chance to stay in the game and even possibly win the game, but we just had that little bit more offense for them. Good for us, you know.
The highlights in this game eventually, I'm sure, will be available from Dundee Stars TV on YouTube. Listen, they're not out of the minute.
Cynical, Patrick. Cynical.
I'm sure they'll be available.
It is only Tuesday. Like, give them a break.
Tuesday.
As someone said, they're just got them down to about 45 minutes now. They do like a highlights package up there.
And we're going to crack on, lads, with our first guest of the evening. It was a 4-goal weekend for him in a 4-point weekend for the Belfast Giants with a hat trick against the Dundee Stars, as we said on Sunday. Please welcome to View from the Bridge, Daniel Tedesco. How are you doing, mate?
Hey guys, I'm doing well. How about you?
Not too bad. Turn your 90 degrees and fill the screen there.
Hold on a second.
There we go.
Is that
right?
Better?
Yep. A hat trick on Sunday. A goal on Saturday. You must have been happy the weekend.
Yeah. Obviously, it was a good weekend. Still trying to recover from the week I had. It was pretty hectic. I don't know if you guys know the details of what I did, but it was a lot. But yeah, overall, I think it was a great weekend and good for the team to get 4 points. I don't remember the last time we won on a Sunday. I heard stats. It was a long time ago.
Obviously, you know, you mentioned there, you know, it was a bit of a training camp with Italy and then coming back into the lineup. You know, it's how do you deal with that with your guards, yourself, your conditioning and coming in? That's a tough week.
Yeah, it was one of the longest weeks of my career for sure. I was there from Monday to Friday, and I played Thursday and Friday night. And then after the game Friday, I took a shuttle to Munich. Got there around 3:30 in the morning, and then met the boys in Glasgow Saturday afternoon, and then played Saturday, Sunday. So I've never played 4 games in 4 days, but honestly, it wasn't too bad. It was just the travel that wasn't fun.
You know what I'm going to say, Daniel? Sunday night was the night. It's been coming for a while.
I know. I was thinking about you, actually. You're saying to me in Coventry, and I was like, yeah, let's hope this is the night. But yeah. I guess Sunday was the night.
But it must feel, it's been a long time coming. I know hat tricks aren't all that important personal stat, but it's more about the team winning. But, you know, without the goals, the team doesn't win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Obviously, I went through a pretty tough stretch. So I think I kind of found my form a few weeks ago. And it's been a bit of a relief because, you know, the team kind of relies on me to produce offense. And I know that wasn't really happening for a while, so it kind of felt good to be able to, you know, contribute and help the team win games. Because, you know, scoring goals is fun, but when you can score a hat trick and win the game, like, that makes it that much better.
And does that just make everything a wee bit easier? Does that make the jersey a wee bit lighter, the stick a wee bit lighter, just everything, just on a day-to-day basis, a bit happier going to the rink?
100%. It's stressful when you're in a slump, you know, like, this is my job. This is what I do, you know, like, I'm here to score goals and, like I said, produce offense. So it's never fun to not do well at your job. And, you know, like, when things do turn around, it's just a big relief. I mean, everyone has been happy for me, and it's just been a little bit less stressful day to day, like you said. So,
yeah,
it's been good.
Terry, talk us through the training camp and with Italy. It's, you know, sometimes it's good to get away and get a wee bit of a, I was going to say break, but you probably skated more this week with Italy than what you have done with the Giants over the last few weeks.
Yeah. No, it's always fun going to the camps. Get to see some guys that I don't really get to see as much anymore. Some old teammates and some other buddies of mine. But the camp was good. I showed up on Monday. We had an optional practice, which obviously I took the option because we played Saturday, Sunday. And then we proceeded to skate twice a day, Tuesday and Wednesday, and then played Thursday, Friday. But no, it was a good camp. We just kind of went over like a lot of like our playbook that they sent us this summer. You know, did a couple of bag skates, but it wasn't anything crazy. They're just trying to get to know everybody. They added a few more Canadian Italian guys. Yeah, honestly, it was a good experience for me. I get to eat some Italian food again, which I love. You can probably imagine how much pasta that was served that week. But yeah, honestly, it was really fun. I love going to the camps, and Bolzano's a really cool city too, so that was fun to go to.
You know, coming off the two wins at the weekend, Glasgow, which we know has been a tough place to go to, and Dundee, again, they've been some positive results this season in Dundee as well. But, you know, it's all about the next one up. It's, you know, you get the first game, you get the first win, you just want to come out and perform the next night. And obviously getting those 8 goals against Glasgow on Saturday evening, taking that form into Sunday. Started out a bit rough. Basco coming up really big on early on in the first period, especially. But yeah. You must be happy with the 4 points of the weekend.
Yeah, of course. Even all the boys in the dressing room, when we were down 3-0, we kind of had this feeling that we had earlier in the season where we weren't too stressed or worried about it because we knew we weren't playing bad. We had plenty of chances to score, and it just seemed as if they got the bounces in the first period. So, like I said, we weren't very stressed and we just kind of played our game, and we had a good feeling that we would come back in the game. And obviously we ended up scoring 8 goals, which we haven't done a lot this year. And, so that was a great result for us. But on Sunday, honestly, at one point, I think we had 5 forwards and 7 D ready to play. So I think I played with a couple of defensemen. Every forward line, like, it was kind of chaos on the bench. So I know Kiefer didn't really expect us to be perfect. We just wanted to get out of that game with a win and hope that the guys are all right. I haven't talked with Hank, but I spoke a little bit with Goody and Naz, and they said they're doing a little better. But I'm not a doctor, and neither are they, so I guess we'll see what happens in the next few days. I don't expect them to see them tomorrow, but who knows, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Hope they get better. Bring you back to the international side of the game, Teddy. You know, you played in Italy for a while, you know, once you came over from North America. But being part of the international setup for you as a player, how proud are you of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think I got my passport in college, my Italian passport, for that reason. I mean, I always wanted to play in the national team. I thought it was really cool. And as soon as I got to Italy, that was my goal right away. And in Italy, you have to play 2 years. I don't know how it is in GB, but you have to play 2 years there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I played my 2 years, but I was mainly in the second league. So my hopes for making the Italian team weren't great. And I didn't make the team after my second year. Actually, I think that was the COVID year, but I didn't make it after my third year. And the fourth year, I believe I got injured. So I got injured at the camp. So I believe I didn't make the team until last year was the first time. So it was kind of a long grind for me to finally make the team. And I don't think many guys make it from the second league in Italy. So it's kind of a cool journey for me. I think I did it in a different way than most guys would. And I'm pretty proud of being able to do that. It's a really cool experience to be able to play for your home country.
How's your Italian?
I can understand almost all of it, like a really good amount. But I have no confidence in speaking Italian. I'm not sure why.
What about the national anthem? I mean, it's one of the best national anthems. The Italians belt it out. Do you know all the words of the national anthem?
I know the last word.
That's the important one, man. That's the important one.
Italian's different. I've been trying. We're going on holiday to Italy in a few weeks. I've been trying to learn a bit of Italian on the Duolingo. Can't get a hand of it at all. Can't get a hand of it. It's a difficult one to learn.
When I was in Italy, I did Duolingo every day. And
yeah,
honestly, I think you just have to try and speak it and learn it that way. Because, like I said, I can understand it. Like, that helped a lot, but speaking it is so hard. But I need to learn the national anthem. You're right, guys.
Well, let's go back to the domestic stuff. And we'll have to be careful what we say, because the Manchester head coach is in the green room here, and we better not say anything bad about him. But obviously, we're off to Aldrinham tomorrow night. Their GM has given a bit of a rocket of a statement put underneath them to try and light a bit of a fire underneath them this week. So we're be expecting a real physical Manchester storm straight out of the gates tomorrow night.
I saw the letter in a statement, but I didn't read what it was. What was the statement?
It's just basically saying, you know, that the GM sort of demanding a bit more than where the sort of the position they are in the league, where they should be, and that they're built on a certain structure around that small rink and being big and physical, and that he's expecting a little bit more of that, you know, from the guys.
Yeah. Well, to be honest, every time I've played in Manchester, it's physical. Like, there's nowhere to go. The rink is pretty small, especially with that Ulett guy. He runs around and hits everybody in sight. I expect a physical team every time I go there, so there's nothing really new for me to comment on there. I think we just got to play the way we've been playing the past two games at least, and we'll be fine.
And just your job's just to get open and just keep doing what you've been doing this last couple of games.
Exactly.
We'll leave it at that then. Back to he says.
Davey's picking up his first his grade one coaching badge this summer.
Oh, yeah. Get loose. Get loose in front there. Just get free in front. Just get open, Tata. Yeah. It's your job.
Exactly. Well, I'm working on it, guys.
Good lad.
Unless you've got Simon, you got one Simon, I've got one more to go with, and it's this. If I can share my screen, that one, yeah, let's do it. You are up for best goal nominee in the Champions Hockey League. Take us through this. Take us through it. So it feels like a long time ago.
Yeah, well, it kind of was. This was in what, September?
Yeah.
Honestly, I was exhausted after this. I couldn't even stand up in the pile there. There's five guys holding me up. it was an end of overtime and a long, hard fought game. So, but the goal, I guess, those, like, I don't know how I got the puck off the guy at the center ice. Like, I feel like he was about to go on a breakaway or something. And I maybe just got a piece of the puck and he overskated it, maybe. But yeah, I remember someone saying, maybe it was intermission, like Kiefer saying, like, pump your legs.
Yeah.
And as soon as I got the puck, I was like, okay, I got to pump my legs here. And I saw Quinn Preston coming up on the right side. He felt like he was flying. So I gave him the puck, and I didn't think he was going to give it back right away. Usually he's a shooter. But when he gave it back, I knew I was going to go backhand because it's too much movement for the goalie to go back and forth and back all within like another second or two, right? So
how many nothing games have you been part of? Because, like, obviously we go into overtime, it's 0-0, and it's like you've got seconds left in the game.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever played a 0-0 game in overtime. But that's just how tight our defense was at that time. Like, I felt like we were a brick wall, Besko included. But yeah, like, Red Bull's a good team. They're usually top of the ice league and supposed to be a better league than our league, right? So,
absolutely.
Yeah, that was an amazing victory. I watched it again today because I saw that this was available, and I was like, oh, that was a really fun night.
You only watched it once?
Well, yeah, it's on there. Go on to the socials, the Belfast Giants socials, on the Champions Hockey League socials. Cast your vote for Daniel Tedesco. It's for the goal of the tournament. Teddy, listen, we really appreciate you joining us. Good luck tomorrow night and this weekend against the Storm.
Yeah, no problem, guys. Thanks for having me, and I appreciate that. Have a good one.
Cheers. Thank you.
Thanks, big man. Thanks to Daniel Tedesco for joining us. And we crack ahead, as we said. It's a game on Wednesday night, Valentine's night. I get to spend Valentine. I'm looking forward to spending Valentine's with my one true love, the Belfast Giants, in the Altrincham Ice Rink. And and you, Davey. You
know, thanks.
If you're coming up, I was more thinking of the Giants.
Are you going, Davey?
Maybe drive up the road. It's two games against the Storm this week, once on Wednesday and once back at the SSE on Saturday. Delighted to welcome back to A View from the Bridge, the head coach of the Sunday. Manchester Storm, Matt Ginn. How are you doing?
Hey guys, thanks for having me.
Is Saturday or Sunday, David? Was it Sunday? Sunday, did I say Saturday?
I think it's Sunday.
That's where my head is at the minute. That's where my head is.
Yeah, we're in Belfast Sunday.
Thanks, Matt. At the minute, you guys are having a bit of a rough ride of it. Obviously, Davey mentioned not that long ago about the message that was put out by Finner just the other day. They were saying, you know, it's some of the performance haven't been acceptable. What's your take on where you guys are at this moment in time?
Well, just about, I'm probably not going to speak too much on the statement there. I mean, Finner's the boss. He can say whatever he wants. Just because their last performance there against Cardiff wasn't good enough, wasn't up to our standard. Outside of that, I think we've kind of gone like most teams, had some good runs, some stretch of bad play, a little inconsistency. Probably speaks a little bit to how tight and competitive the league is really after Sheffield. Like there's no easy nights there, and if you're not at your best, you're not going to win that night. So obviously we had that four game winning streak, and then dropped I think to three in a row now. So again, just trying to get a little more consistency in our game. I know we weren't happy with how we played against Cardiff there on Sunday. They came in and dictated kind of the game in our rink, which isn't acceptable. And believe me, the guys in the room and the staff, like we care. We know it's wasn't good enough. And the good thing about it is it was a quick turnaround at a bit of tough practice today, and we'll be ready to go tomorrow.
You know, we always joke about, you know, the state of play in that rink and stuff. But how important is it? You mentioned it there, you know, about, you know, how Cardiff have come in dictating that's not acceptable to dictate in your own ice. How important is it that you make your own ice a fortress?
Yeah, I think so. Like at times it has been this year, and at other times we probably just haven't been up to par or good enough. And I mean, it's a rink that it's impossible to hide out there. If you're not battling and competing and winning your battles, you stick out kind of like a sore thumb. And I think that was kind of the instance there on Sunday. Like, I don't want to say guys aren't working hard, but it was maybe that second, third effort, kind of some fatigue, whatever it was. It just wasn't a good day at the office for us. And like I said, good chance to hopefully turn things around tomorrow.
I think the last time you were on, Matt, we talked about the consistency issue and every team striving for it. I know it's really cliche in hockey because everybody's striving for it, and probably apart from Steelers, no one's really found it on a consistent basis as well. You know, as you said, you've gone on a four and then you've lost three. Is it just going to work every day and going reiterating those guys at those second and third? It's difficult because you're in that sort of period now where, you know, the league's probably beyond everyone bar Sheffield. You're jostling for places, you're trying to get people fit, you're trying to, you know, one eye on the playoffs. It's a funny stage of the season.
Yeah, a little bit. You're really not teaching a whole lot of new stuff now. It's just really fight, again, use that word 80 times, but that consistency in your game and how you play. I mean, obviously it's easy to keep preaching the right things when you're getting the results and playing well like we were. And then when you drop a couple just to kind of reinforce those good habits and remind guys why we did have success prior. And it's kind of doing those little things consistently. Again, I need to think of a better word than that, but as minimum or something, but more frequently, I guess. But yeah, just doing those little things and then reminding guys that's why we had the success we did. I think the weekend against Fife there, we ended up splitting, but even the game we won, I thought there were some bad habits creeping into our game. And that was after we'd won, I think, three in a row there, whether it was, I don't know, guys cheating the game or complacency, I don't think is the right word, but maybe just not quite as dialed in or detailed in our systems. And it was that was kind of the message after that, is just reminding guys why we did have that success and kind of take a step back and reevaluate that way.
Ginner, a couple of years of coaching now, you enjoying it?
Yeah, it's a bit of a roller coaster, like everybody, except probably bar Foxy right now. But you try and stay even keel there, where you don't get too high or too low. But yeah, it's a blast. I really enjoy it.
I was speaking to a couple of Giants players the other day, and you know they're talking about just what they're looking at maybe doing after their career's over. And I said to them, I said, guys, listen, stop talking about your career being over. I mean, you're only 26, 27. It's ridiculous these days that these kids are looking for a real job when they've got the best job in the world. It's a short career. You know, you've obviously been in professional game as a player, now as a coach. Which do you prefer? Which would you rather still be playing, or would you prefer the coaching side of things?
Yeah, definitely playing. I think coach is a second for sure. But obviously with having to retire, it wasn't really an option. And I'm really, again, thankful for the opportunity I got from Finner and Jamie at the time, and really enjoyed it. It's been a great group to work with again this year. And I guess, a good fallback option to not being able to play anymore.
You were without your captain this weekend. Obviously, he was Cam Critchell out on Team GB duty. How difficult is it to lose a player of his standard on what was basically, you know, his debut with Team GB?
Yeah, we missed him for sure. I think leading up, not even just on the ice with how he plays, but his leadership. Like, he's the captain for a reason. He's been a captain through his whole career, basically, and won championships in junior and college and whatnot. So definitely missed him. And going into the last couple of weeks there, his line had been buzzing pretty good. So we definitely had, then you lose him, you have to switch the lines. And obviously weren't able to kind of create the chemistry that we did in the past or the kind of weeks leading up to it. So enjoying having him back today and back in the lineup there. I'll drop that one. He will play tomorrow against you guys. I won't hold that one tight to my chest, but he'll be back in there. He's an important piece for us. But again, we're happy for him with GB as well. I thought he played really well. I don't think it's any secret he should have been there last year too. Pretty kind of black and white there, but it is what it is. There's politics, whatnot at every level, but I'm really glad that he was able to make it this year and play so well for them.
Coach, you were listening in when Daniel Tedesco was talking to us, and we're talking about obviously less than 24 hours from now. Actually, 24 hours from now, the game will more or less be over, but in around 20 hours from now, facing off against each other tomorrow night, I'm sure you'll be looking forward to rolling the red carpet out for the boys tomorrow.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, we're looking to get back on track here. Last game, it kind of leaves a sour taste in your mouth until you can correct it. So we know it's going to be a tough game. It always is against you guys. I think last time you were in Manchester, I think, what were we, 3-4-2, maybe empty netter, 3-2. But again, a close game. Like, could have went either way. Had a couple tight games in Belfast there where we felt we probably deserved more out of the weekend than the 1 point that we got. But I know you guys are a little banged up too, but that's why you have the extra import. So we know it'll be a tough game tomorrow. It is every team in the league. It'll be a battle out there, and we just want to put our best foot forward.
One more question for me, Coach, and I hope you don't mind, but from a personal point of view, you know, when you travel and, you know, you're far from home and you're working hard and you're doing what you have to do, having those comforts are very important. Tell us about Walter.
Oh, my dog. Yeah. So he was back with my parents there, and he just got kind of sick all of a sudden. Like, he lost his eyes, kind of got all red and cloudy, and they found out he had glaucoma in them, and then like the cancer spread, and it was probably over within 3 or 4 days. So at least he didn't suffer, and we had to put him down. But it's tough being across the world when you have to do something like that. A family loss. I know it's just a dog, but they're a big part of the family.
Family member.
How close they are and how much they've become a big part of your family. So it was definitely a tough couple days there. You try and get away and focus on kind of the hockey side of things. But definitely a tough couple days there for a family.
Yeah, well, condolences on. I know myself what it's like. You know, we've had a few dogs in our time, and you come so attached to them, and you know, when they pass, it's like a family member. It is a family member passing on. So yeah, condolences on that. But listen, we really appreciate your time tonight. I was to say good luck tomorrow. Absolutely not.
Yeah, you wouldn't mean it anyway.
You know the drill here. Big team around town. We'll speak to you again. Good luck in the stretch coming into the season.
Yeah, appreciate it, guys. I'll make sure you dress warm tomorrow, eh?
Yeah. not my first rodeo down there. No, mate, don't you worry about it.
Yeah, no worries. I'll see you guys tomorrow and then Sunday, I guess, eh?
Sunday, yeah. Absolutely.
Cheers, guys.
Big thanks to Matt Ginn once again for joining us on the show. Always great to have him on. And we now to bring on another goalie, a man we always love inviting on the View from the Bridge. Always really good crack. Welcome back, please, Mr. Andrew Dixon. How are you doing, Dicko?
Not bad, lads. How are you?
Turn your phone sideways, mate, or your iPad sideways. Let's see you in full HD.
Look better?
Not too bad. Yeah. How are you doing?
Yeah, look better. Bernard Dicko, classic.
Yeah. Here, how do you fix your Ginner's accent? It's crazy, eh? Very Canadian.
What were you expecting?
Well, I don't know. I've never really spoke to him before, but that's proper thick. Anyway, so how's it going tonight?
Not too bad. How are you?
Yeah, good. University of the day after sort of traveling most of the day yesterday, so a little day off, so that's always nice.
What was you taking the weekend?
It was tough. I mean, obviously with the GB guys being away, we got off to pretty slow start, I think it's fair to say, in Glasgow. They scored three goals. It was funny because we had chances earlier on. You know, that game could have went either way earlier on. And then, you know, once we got those three goals back, it sort of all swung back in our favour. And you know, since there, we feel like we took control of the game. Even whenever they score, you know, we scored straight after. So that's always nice. It hasn't always been the case this year. There's been times this year where, you know, things have gone against us and we've kind of folded. So it's nice to see us sort of bounce back from a little bit of adversity. And then on Sunday night, even more adversity, you know, still short guys. I mean, Kohei got in, but, you know, he'd been on the flight all night, hadn't slept. So he was in no position to play. So there was no point sort of dressing him. Get three sort of concussions. I don't know how the guys are doing. They're, you know, some, you know, losing guys. So he had defensemen jumping up to play centre because we were losing forwards and short benched. But, you know, against a very good Dundee side, I thought Dundee were pretty good. I think they outchanced us. I think they had 29 shots, 25 scoring chances. So we beat the Corsi on that one. So yeah, another tough game. It was nice to dress both the games. Apart from that, yeah, job done. Get back home, get the GB guys back and you know, try to keep the momentum going.
Davey?
Deco, obviously Saturday night, 3-0 down after 9 minutes. Did you at any point start to get a wee bit twitchy?
Yeah, I was, as a goalie, sort of, I always think fours around the mark where they sort of, I mean, it wasn't Besko's fault, you know, it's not like he was doing bad, you know, you're already got there, so it's not, it's sometimes it's funny, but I was getting ready, like, you know, I was sort of mentally in case I had to go in. You know, thankfully we turned it around and wasn't needed. So it'd be nice to go on the ice and stuff, but it's nice to get a win at the end of the day.
Yeah, and what was the rest of the weekend like for you? Is it nice to be back and kit it up again?
Yeah, it's probably been a few weeks anyway, at least. I know I sort of dressed a lot over Christmas in November, but it wasn't fun dressing in November. I had an ankle injury at the time, so I was sort of dressing and I sort of knew that if worse came to worse and I had to go in, I wouldn't be very useful anyway. So it's nice to be able to back up and know that if you have to go in, you can actually play again. It was nice being in around the team again and sort of feeling like I was being useful.
Diego, you've been around for a long time now. And, you know, especially the last 3 or 4 years, we've been ultra successful. This year, with all the injuries and everything, and I know Adam doesn't make many excuses with injuries and what have you, but, you know, what's your thoughts on the way this team is setting up now? You know, with a lot of changes, a lot of, you know, guys getting hurt, a lot of, you know, there's been a few of, obviously, you know, their seasons ended very early on. Obviously, Mark Garside and Elijah Barriga, and you keep on forgetting about these guys because you don't see them. Obviously, Barriga's way back to California, but because they're not about you, sort of, I don't want to say you forget about them, but, you know, you sort of just have to concentrate on what's in front of you. But what's your thoughts on the team right now?
Yeah, I mean, we're still missing guys right now. We know we've got our captain, Coops, out with a foot injury. I don't know how long he's going to be. Prince, he's out for a little bit.
Lower body.
Yeah, exactly. Gendron, upper body, lower body, whatever. So, you know, we've definitely got a few guys on the sidelines still. You know, as you talked about Barriga and Garside, we're not getting those guys back, unfortunately. And that's just something we've had to deal with. And yeah, obviously, I think touch wood, everyone from the weekend will be okay. But you're better safe than sorry at the end of the day. Touch wood and all that. But yeah, I mean, it's been a tough year. Whenever you have the success that we've had, people come to expect it. It's just not that easy to win, especially when everyone's gunning for you and things kind of go against you. You know, injuries and you know, we were in the CHL, added games on and travel and things that got there. And then, you know, sometimes it just doesn't fall for some guys, it doesn't work out. And, you know, I think we're actually starting to see some of the best of some of the players. There's some players I think got written off and now they're starting to come into a little bit of a stride. I mean, probably too late for the league, let's be honest. You never say never and all that there sort of stuff, never quit. But at the end of the day, do Sheffield look like they're going to lose? Not really right now. We talked about it whenever we were doing commentary. They look like a good team right now. But the Giants can maybe gear themselves up to playoffs and really concentrate on that, get ready for it and maybe, you know, hit that in our stride. But all those teams around us are playing well. And we've seen that in Dundee. They played very well as well. I thought we'd done well to win that game. So Yeah, it's just a funny year. It's just not as easy as it was any other year. Not that any of the years are easy, but you can't win every year, unfortunately.
Look, and I know you, obviously I give you a call for commentating every once in a while. You're okay this weekend. Davey's coming home. It's one of those ones where I really enjoy doing the games with you. I think you're very insightful. I know the boys above us agree right now as well.
Absolutely.
I don't want to say you hate doing it, but you don't like doing it. Like,
the only problem is it's you can't really relax and watch the game, can you? You know, you're always sort of trying to think about something to say, because sometimes I'm daydreaming and you're like, what do you think of that, Dick? And I was like, what do I think of what? I don't know what you're talking about. You make something up, you know? And then there's also, you know, there might be times where you think one of your teammates maybe isn't playing great. You don't want to say that, you know? You can't say that. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't want them to say it about me, so you always sort of back them. So you're in a tricky sort of spot as well. But, I mean, it is nice to do it. And if you get a good game, it can be fun. But I mean, yeah, I'll take the fact you said I'm insightful. I get told that a lot, which makes me kind of feel appreciated for doing it.
I think you're great, mate. I know the boys above us. I mean, Paddy, do you want to have a chip in here with it?
Listen, that's my now that I live over here. It's how I engage mostly with the Belfast Giants in home games is listening to you, Susan, either yourself or Gareth Martin. I think you both do a fantastic job, and just as you're here, like you do, it's the insight that is given from the point of view of the goalie, and especially some of the times that, you know, you see Besko doing some things, and you're there just pointing out that's not easy. You have to do this, you have to do that, you have to watch this, you have to watch that. The insight that you provide is phenomenal, and you know, I know you put yourself down, and you don't think you do a great job, mate. And I think the more you're told that, the more I think one day you'll actually believe it. One comment just to make. Obviously, it's not. There was a fourth goalie brought into this system. From your point of view, how interesting was that?
Yeah, it was interesting. I was really interested to see how Petter was going to play, because he sort of played in that league that I played in whenever I was 21 or whatever. So I knew, you know, you can't really play in that league if you can't bluff it, put it that way. It's not an easy league to play in. I know it's down a level and things like that there. Excuse me, if you lose me, my phone's going to die. So basically, I was interested to see Malachi, sorry.
You're back.
Sorry, I think my phone's about to die here. So it was interesting to see how he's going to do. Obviously, he brings a wealth of experience, just a high level sport, and it's very interesting. Especially he was here whenever we were going through a real struggle, and you know, he I don't want to go too much into what he said, but he sort of talked about some tough times he went through in his career, and he went through some, you know, nearly losing his career, and had to be brave enough to fight back and decide to play again, where he probably could have just said no, that's enough, and probably taken insurance money or whatever. But he was a battler and he wanted to play, so it's good to have him over. And obviously we had Wes away last week, so it's tough, you know, training with two goalies, especially with Kiefer's practices, they're quite high intensive. So one guy's always getting a rest. So he really did help. And you know, I'm just going to say, Besko got pulled the weekend before, so he really wanted to work. So it was basically me and Petter splitting in one end, and I was quite impressed with him. Really good guy, supportive, and he loves coming over to Belfast. I think he feels the love when he comes over here, and because all the Canadians and Americans didn't grow up watching him, they just treat him like anyone else.
Deco, how important is he?
Dead. Phone died.
You're still there, Andre.
I'm still glad you're Andre.
Ah, never mind.
He's gone. He's gone for a wander.
He's still there. Right?
He's still there.
That was going to be a brilliant question to you. Never mind.
Well, if he comes back, we'll
he's still there.
Yeah, no, I think is he still? No, I think he's just waiting to get it plugged in. If he comes back, we'll add him in. What I'll do is I'll crack with a bit of news, and if Dicko comes back to join us, then we'll bring him back in for a chat. And what I'll do is while I'm doing that is, as I tend to do for those watching in on Facebook and YouTube and Twitter, is the goals of the week. So if I set those off, the Challenge Cup is set. Clan fell short as Guildford returned to the final to face the Steelers in Sheffield on the 13th of March. It was a four-point weekend for Sheffield, Fife and Cardiff. Cardiff are actually on the crest of a nine-game winning streak. They're on the push. Also in games fitting in around the GB. I'll come to that in a second. Nottingham Picked up a win at home to Glasgow, having returned from a 16-goal thriller in Kirkcaldy. 9-7 they were beaten by Tom Coolan's men, who then subsequently drove straight down to Surrey and beat Guildford 3-2 at the Spectrum. Lifting, as Sis says earlier on, it's lifted Fife out of the bottom two and put Glasgow down into it. As we mentioned with Matt Ginn earlier, it was a bad weekend for the Storm. Shut out by Sheffield in Sheffield, and then soundly beaten 6-1. Also soundly beaten 6-1 at home by Cardiff. Likewise, no points for the Blaze, who were beaten by the league's top two teams, Cardiff on Friday, Sheffield on Sunday. Team GB have waltzed into the next round of Olympic qualifications. They beat China 10-1, Serbia 11-0, and Romania 7-4. And the next round in Aalborg in Denmark from the 29th of August, they'll face Denmark, Norway, and Kohei Sato's own Japan. And he helped them qualify for this next round. If you were watching us just the other week, Adam Keefe was talking about the Russia-Belarus axis and what was coming in regards to qualification. The IIHF has released a statement. On Monday, the 12th of February, the IIHF Council reviewed the current safety risks associated with reincorporating the Russian and Belarusian national and club teams into IIHF competitions. Based on a thorough analysis, the Council concluded that it is not yet safe to reincorporate Russian and Belarusian teams back into the competitions, and therefore Russia and Belarus will not participate in the 24-25 championship season. This decision will also apply to the Belarusian team regarding the final Olympic qualification round that will be played in August 2024. And as a result, Belarus was removed from Group D of the final Olympic qualification, and in line with the decision taken in Portugal and Hungary, the highest ranked second place team from the combined ranking of round three will take the place, and that and the groups were reseeded accordingly. So yes, Denmark, Norway, and Japan will join Team GB in the next round of the Olympic qualifiers. Just on that, I'll play this here. Just on that, gentlemen, we've said it many times, but about how the Olympic qualification is so. It's really important from a point of view of visibility of the sport. So for but from a point of view of visibility of the sport, kind of disappointing that the qualifiers weren't more readily available. I understand why not, but the fact that they're in this next round in August, one step away, I think, from reaching the Olympics is huge for Team GB and for the sport in this country.
It's massive. It's absolutely massive. It really could be really, really good for the sport. You know, make no mistake about it. Is there only one team that qualifies for it, or two?
I don't know. I'll have to check.
You know, if it's only one, they've got a mountain to climb. Denmark are going to be good. They've got a few NHL players who will be probably playing at that stage because the NHL won't have started up. And then when you look at Norway, I mean, they train July and August, so they'll be ready to go as well. GB boys, that's a really difficult time. Because whoever qualifies for the CHL, whether it's the Staters or whoever, ultimately the Staters have got the first choice. But, you know, that's literally round about the first weekend of games in CHL as well. So, you know, with the greatest respect, Aaron Fox, if he's going to be the coach there next year, is not going to want Rob Dowd, Brandon Whistle. I'm assuming these guys are going to return to Sheffield because there's not many of them leave Sheffield because they're very well looked after. But, you know, you don't want those guys leaving to go and play for GB in a tournament that you're looking to try and progress in for the CHL. So I thought that the timing of that was really difficult. I understand it's got a, you know, the Olympics are in
2024.
That's just 2024. So, you know, it's basically another 18 months away. I don't understand why they need to play it at, you know, potentially 18 months before the tournament starts. It's a really difficult time. I just can't get my head around it. Is it to help the NHL? I very much doubt it because there's not many Norwegians and there's not many Danish players playing the NHL as well. So Japan, I don't think they've got anybody right now. So it's a difficult date for them to go in. But GB have got a chance. They're there.
like I said a long time, they all tie their skates the same way, get stuck in and take the words from Jonathan Phillips, you know, his positive team talk there when he had them in Nottingham last year. Get stuck in and see where he takes you, you know.
Back in the Sheffield Steelers lineup this week, John Phillips stepping in with, because they were short due to the some of the players you mentioned there. Says David, your take. Oh no, he stepped in because it was a player tip, but a big cheer for him in Sheffield. David, your take on where Team GB are in regards to this Olympic qualification?
For me, these games need to be live on BBC TV. That's where Team GB need to aim to be. Live Saturday afternoon, BBC. Old, like the old days, you know, it's the only way to expose this best kept secret we'll keep talking about. You know, there's a Viaplay and all, while they're absolutely fabulous, and it's great to be able to watch those GB games. It's got to be terrestrial as such. No, it's everything's digital now, but you know what I mean by that. It has to be on the BBC for me, back to what it always was. You know, it's a BBC sport. The Olympics will be on BBC. You want your Olympic hockey on BBC as well. So, you know, best of luck to Team GB. They've got themselves almost to the show. It's very, very difficult. Am I right in saying, Paddy, you were saying there that so Belarus and Russia aren't in the IIHF World Championships. Belarus are booted out of the Olympics, but Russia can go to the Olympics.
Yeah, hold on, I'll read the statement.
Didn't the IIHF guy yesterday say, oh, you can't have the Olympics without Russia, but it's okay to have it without
Belarus. Belarus have been removed from Olympic qualification, so I assume Russia have been removed from all competitions in 2024. Therefore, Russia and Belarus will not participate in the 24-25 championship season. I assume that's the World Championships.
Yeah.
And this decision will also apply to the Belarusian team regarding final Olympic qualification round. So obviously Russia are of high enough ranking that they'd probably go straight into the Olympics without having to go through a qualification round. It's like Canada and the USA. So whether they are removed from that, it doesn't say. It just says...
I'm pretty sure the IIHF guy yesterday said you can't have the Olympics without Russia. You know, which is an interesting take.
Jenny Tassel, the ex-chief executive or president of the IIHF, said that yesterday.
Here, guess what?
Deco's back.
Deco's back. Hey, Deco.
Well, lads.
What are you dicking about?
Hey, that's going to be the name of my podcast.
It's a podcast. So tell us, we were talking about it yesterday. You know, you wanted a segment on the ABFTB to do dicking about. So what are you going to do?
It's just going to be me on a golf course with various players tearing up golf courses, breaking clubs and chatting nonsense. So,
by all means, get a camera. Talk
us through your visit to McGurk's Golf the other day.
Oh, what a dream. Mm. I was down Friday with a guy, Joe, who's their fitter there. So they... No, I'm going. I told facilities I was away doing Giants work. I was away getting a club fit in for the So I went down and they were like, oh, we'll fit you for a driver. So fitted me for the driver. I actually wasn't hit the driver very good that day. It was kind of annoying, but whatever. So they fitted me for the Cobra and then they were like, you get to keep the driver. So I was like, fantastic. I was like, do you want to fit me for some irons while I'm here? So they did. They ran me through and fitted me for irons and they said, well, basically, if you trade in your old clubs, we'll give you cost plus money off it, blah, blah, blah. Done that, got a hybrid as well. So pretty much got a bag for next to nothing, to be completely honest. So they done me a really good deal. So all excuses are now out the window. It's just me. So properly fitted and everything out there. So yeah, the guys at McGurk's were fantastic. They really looked after me and look forward to getting them because they're custom made, basically. They're made for me, you know, my spec shaft and lie angle and everything I got there. So whenever they come, I'll do a bag unveil and I'll make sure to give them a good shout out.
David, we were just talking while you were talking about when you came back in, we're talking from an international perspective. We were talking about Team GB, talking about Russia, talking about Belarus. What about this Ireland developmental squad? Where does this sit at the minute?
Well, we got the email last week saying we're going to Porto to play... And the teams were, well, so Brazil, Argentina, Colombia, Liechtenstein, ourselves, Portugal, obviously. But then next, we got a mail a couple of days later saying it's basically kind of cancelled, and they're going to have to look for like a different spot or something like that there. So maybe, I don't know, really, I'm not privy to what's going on or anything out there, but maybe the rink's not ready, because I know they're building a brand new rink in Portugal. So I'd say that's probably it. The rink's probably not ready. So I guess they're sort of scrambling now to see if they can either rearrange it or something like that there. I hope they can, to be honest. I was looking forward to it. It's good fun. You know, a couple more teams in this year as well, and it's just an opportunity for me to go play as well. There's a bunch of guys from Belfast who go to it now. So basically, if it goes, great, I'll be there. And if it doesn't, then I don't know. Don't know what the plan is.
One time you were on this podcast, you tried to recruit Aaron Murphy. Did he ever take you up on that?
No, he didn't, no. I'm sure he has. I'm sure he has his Irish pass if he wanted to play. I'm sure he actually probably could make the team, to be honest with you. There's some. We've got a lot of Canadians anyway, so he'd feel at home. You know, Canadians with Irish passports. There's at least a line of them, and then we've got a guy Carpenter plays in Switzerland. We've got a guy playing in Holland. Obviously, I'm playing here. Which I think who else? Jimmy Ferguson from Belfast. You would know. Adam Robinson. You should know. He's played a few games in Belfast. Yeah. He's playing Whitley at the minute.
Yeah.
Trying to think who else from Belfast. I'm not sure what they're going to do about goalie. I actually heard they might have a dual national from America as well, sort of Irish passport, American passport, but I don't know. I have no runnings on it. If I get picked, I get picked, that sort of thing, you know, and because obviously I'm quite busy with the Giants, it's actually quite hard for me to make the training sessions, so I very rarely hear anything. It's just wherever I get on the emails.
Well, we always talk, it often comes up, especially when we're talking to some of the young lads coming through the system, it's the lack of ice, isn't it? It's the lack of ice and the facilities to be able to play that sort of hamper that sort of. How important is it, both maybe north and south of the border, to just, you know, that there is more ice for these guys to be able to play on and to bring players through?
Yeah, I mean, that's just, I mean, without an ice rink, how are you going to play ice hockey? Simple as that. So all those guys play inline, or they have to drive, you know, hours and hours and hours up to, you know, the ice bowl at terrible times at night. You know, you're not getting on the ice most times until about 10:30 at night. I sort of know all about that from coming even just from Balmoney, and that's an hour, you know, when there's no traffic. So those guys here are coming from Dublin and further, Kilkenny and things like that there. It's not fun for them. It's not cheap either. So yeah, the more ice rinks, the better. But I mean, they're not cheap to build, are they? So and nobody really wants to fund them. So I don't know what they're going to do. That's the reason, you know, whenever Simon would have played in the World Championships of Ireland, they had a rink in the Republic of Ireland, and they had like a house league or whatever. And those are the two requirements to play in the World Championships. So we're probably actually better than a lot of teams that are in the World Championships, but we can't play in it because you need to have a full-time rink. And I think for a while they got away with saying Dundonald was, you know, whatever way they want to work it. But realistically, they don't have a rink in the south of Ireland, so they can't play in the World Championships, which is a real shame, because it'd be something. I'm sure if there was a proper chance to play in the real World Championships, I know you're down the levels, you know, don't get me wrong, but it's still the World Championships, and we'd definitely jump at the chance to do it. So I can't see there being a rink any time before I retire anyway. I mean, they're not cheap, and they're not quick to build.
Simon, what's your experience of playing those World Championships?
I had a great time. It was great crack, and you know, they're, We were lucky enough that I play with a lot of guys from Belfast, and you know, we were, I think there's 23 guys in that 2007 in Dundalk. That's 17 years ago.
I watched that game. I went to that game. So there would have been you, Hugh Smith and Nett, Kevin Kelly, the three Morrisons. Yeah. Would you have Leggy, Trevor Kennedy, yourself?
Yeah. But again, when you look at that 23 players, there was a kid from Sweden, there was three from North America. Kevin Kelly, the goalie, was living in Toronto and learned most of his hockey in Dublin years and years ago. And then the rest of us were all from Belfast. And it was like, in fairness, it was really good. But the problem is, that Dundalk pad is still there. And I know that the IIHA have been trying to get this organized for a long, long time. And I believe they had funding in place to take it over. But the owners off that, I think it's DK, Dundalk Institute of Technology, I can't remember, I think it's them, who own that facility, the Dundalk Dome, the Ice Dome in Dundalk. And that
everything's still there. The boards are all still there. The ice pad hasn't been dug up. It's still there. I just can't get my head around why they won't let the IIHF take over the rink, open it up again, facility, and why Dundalk Town aren't actually doing anything about it as well is absolutely bizarre. But there's to play in the World Championships and play with. I was more interested in playing with the guys that basically don't want to say grew up with, because it was probably one of the oldest in the team. But watching these guys and kids grow up was a real opportunity to. And we played really well. Like we played, we were opportunity for that. We won the silver medal that year. The year after, I think they won gold. Got the chance to go to Iceland in 2006, which was great as well. But it's difficult to, with no facilities here and Dundonald Ice Bowl, being as Dick was already touched on, being up in Dundonald and a lot of kids traveling from Kilkenny and further afield, it's tough. But you find a way to get it done if you want to get it done. And there is, Will Fitzgerald's working his tail off for the IIHF and Warren Goulet. There's a development league in Dundonald. I coach the Spartans right now, and it's beer league. It's not, I wouldn't say competitive. It's more beer league than anything else, just to get a few games. It's 3 20-minute running periods. We had a game the other night. But it's just really tough, and you're not going to develop the sport in Northern Ireland or Ireland as a whole right now because there's no facilities, and that's not going to change anytime soon. The arena itself, obviously being the multi-purpose arena and only open for Giants, and you get the odd junior Giants games in there as well, but it's going to start falling on his knees if there's not more ice available for hockey, and that's going to be a real shame if that's the case.
I think that's the case. It's something. It's a drum that we're always beating, and I know a lot of people are always beating the fact that we can see the talent coming through. We can see some of the lads like the Hamels, and we see Mac, and we see Kel, and we see that these lads are playing really well, and the talent that couldn't come through if we just invest more in the facilities. But I guess sometimes you're met with a brick wall, unfortunately, because the money, we know that money has to go in other directions. It's frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, I personally, I'm 36 now, and there's not a chance that I should be the only goalie. Whenever I'm hurt, we have to bring a guy in from England. That's ridiculous. What other team would have that? If you were in England and you're in, I don't know, Guildford or something, you'll bring up your under-20s goalie or Fife. They can do that. We can't do that here. We've no junior goalies under-20s running out there who are ready to step up, and that just shows like a lack of filter through now. And the reason why is because nobody can play games anymore, and nobody wants to spend the money to travel back and forth to Scotland. Whenever they get to 17, they want to do other things. They want to spend money on, socialising and buying cars and things like that there.
That's very true. What do you think? What can we expect from the Belfast Giants coming into the stretch here, Dicko?
It's tough because we've had. So I don't want to jinx any momentum that we're on. But hopefully, if we can get a few of these guys back into our lineup, Spears up to full speed, Coops back, Princey back. I think that there's a top line of big bodies that'll really help us out. And if we can get hot down the stretch here and go into the playoffs with a little bit of momentum, with guys, starting to find some form, I think we're a team to be reckoned with. I mean, I certainly wouldn't write us off completely in a couple of one-off games. We've got a few big tests coming up. We haven't played Sheffield much this year, and they are a good team. I think that's going to be a real measuring yard for us. I know we've been very inconsistent this year. Win one, lose one, which isn't really our way for periods of the year, but we're hoping to find some consistency. We've got bodies coming back, and that'll hopefully strengthen the squad, and touch wood, we don't get any more injuries this year.
And what's the determination like in the room?
Obviously, I see stuff, guys not caring and things like that. It's not the case. Sometimes I think guys care too much, and they end up overdoing it and trying to do too much. And in hockey, they call it gripping the stick. You're really gripping the stick too tight, and you don't play loose, you don't play free, you don't play the way you usually do. Because earlier on, early in the season, we were a good team. I thought we had a good chance of winning this league. We were going on runs, we were doing well in Europe, and the wheels really sort of fell off there in around November time, didn't it? And we're starting to hopefully recover now. I mean, we've had some shootout losses and overtime losses.
which, you know, add to the, you know, if we can get those wins, it really puts us in a different spot. But as I said, Sheffield, whenever they come to town, I think it'll be interesting to see how we measure up against them, because they look like a very good hockey team this year.
Absolutely. Listen, mate, we really appreciate you coming on and then coming back.
Sorry if it's the work getting off air. I didn't realize this was live, even though it says live in the corner.
It's fine. It's all good. The good luck with the degree and finishing all that. And that's hard work, but you deserve it. And best of luck.
Yeah. All right, lads. Have a good one. See you there.
Cheers.
Thanks. Big thanks to Andrew Dixon for his time. One more little piece of business before we sort of start to shut things down in this week's show are the standings. As we said, the Sheffield Steelers, 63 points with 35 games. They are 14 points up on the Cardiff Devils. They're in 49. We're just behind that in 44. Guildford in fourth on 43. Coventry Blaze, 38. Dundee Stars, 37 points. Manchester Storm, 34 points from 36 games. Fife have pulled themselves out of those bottom two, but on 33 points. But Glasgow do have two games on them. They're on 32 points. Nottingham Panthers did get a win this week, but they're still on 27 points with only 8 regulation wins this season. Two games in the next week. I'm all over the place tonight, boys. We are away to the Manchester Storm on Wednesday night, 7:30 p.m. at Planet Ice in Altrincham. Valentine's night. Looking forward to it. If you are not making your way there and spending it with your with the one true love of your life, then you can watch it on Storm TV. And then the Storm come back on Sunday to the SSE Arena at 4 p.m. and you can spend that with Mr. Kitchen or get yourself down there to the SSE Arena. Any other business, boys?
None. All right, David, you happy?
Yeah, mate.
A bit fed up, but let's not talk about it on air.
Fair enough. Get your votes in for Daniel Tedesco in the Champions Hockey League Goal of the Season award. It's on Belfast Giants socials. We'll share it on our own. Not from yourself, Sis?
I'm good.
All right, then. Big thanks to Daniel Tedesco, Andrew Dixon, and Matt Ginn. Big thanks to everybody who's been interacting on YouTube, on Facebook, and on Twitter and the likes. Like I say, two games Wednesday night, 7:30 p.m. away to the Storm. Get that on Storm TV. And then get yourself down to the SSE Arena on Sunday, 4 p.m. The Storm are back in our barn. And if you can't do it, Mr. Kitchen and Mr. Majemsey will take you through it on Belfast Giants TV. Thanks to you, gents, for... I'm not doing that. That's it. Yeah, that's that way. The big thanks to you, boys, as always. Good to chat with you. We always enjoy it. And you can get us on at AVFTB on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, all the usual podcast providers, and wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey. And we'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge.
Podcast Network.